call meeting. Senate has to order. Present are Senators Sharp, Senator Lehman, Senator Miller, and myself, Senator Leader. The first bill before us is Senate Bill 156, Human Services Matching Grants. We have the prime sponsor here, Senator Sharp, so I'll call on Senator Sharp to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What HB or SB 156 does is to add on page 1, line 14, and over on to second page, line 22. It adds a definition for second-class borough whose population is over 65,000. Population for purposes of the paragraph shall be. What this does is allow the Fairbanks North Star Borough to qualify as a recipient of matching grants for social services. The way things are now, the city is in a better financial shape to provide the matching money than the city of Fairbanks. The amount of people that's been used as far as population is the same for the city as far as the amount of the grants. So there's no change in dollar allocation. It just allows, if they so desire, the Fairbanks North Star Borough to pass accommodating ordinances that would qualify them to receive and to match the service grants. I got a lot more.
There's people signed up to testify. But first, are there any questions, committee members of Senator Sharp?
Mr. Chairman, through the chair to Senator Sharp, the definition change isn't so expansive as to allow other communities in, but it would just be Fairbanks that would be impacted.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellis, that's correct. It just to allows the Fairbanks North Star Borough, that population definition over 65,000 is a lot of maneuver room there before any other community would be coming close.
Mr. Chairman, I helped former Representative Boyer. In fact, I first drafted the original legislation that we're amending here and gave it to Mark because I thought it'd have a better chance with his name on it, and we could keep the Fairbanks and Anchorage team together in terms of the social service block grants, because both of our communities are social service hubs. So I think this is a good change, and I'm very enthusiastic about the bill. So.
Okay, we have Lane St. John from Fairbanks North Star Borough. Please sign up to testify. Please come forward and state your name for the record. Proceed.
I'm Lane St. John, Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly.
Go ahead.
And basically, I'm here to really request that you support this amendment to this change. It's something that we probably will need very badly in the fairly near future, depending on how the city of Fairbanks maintains. So if there's anything I can say in support of that.
I guess I have a question. Just the city and the borough are non-unified in Fairbanks, right?
Correct.
And so right now, the way that statute reads, it's just the case that the city is the entity which has to apply for the grant instead of the borough. That's really all that's going on here, is making it possible for either one to apply for the same grant.
The population that the city is using is the same as the borough for the grant, so that doesn't change anything that way. It would be the fact that the North Star Borough could assume those powers if the city can't, so that they can make the match, having a few more resources right now than the city of Fairbanks has.
Okay, thanks. Are there other questions of committee members? Yes, Senator
Chairman,
Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the borough anticipate having problem in future years meeting the ascending local match required that we put into statute last year? Just what's the outlook for that?
The borough assembly currently has a committee looking at health and social service needs requirements. And one of the things they're looking at is the ability to fund any matching grants up at the 50% mark that would be required in, 2 years, I believe. And So it's one of the things they're evaluating at this moment. I serve as co-chair on that committee. What we do think is that it appears that Fairbanks in the near future will not be able to meet that 50%. If either of the governments can, it would be the North Star Borough, and that's why we really request this change.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Also, Hank Bartos, if I pronounce right, is in town from Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Thank you, Jim. Hank Bartos, Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. I have had the pleasure of serving on the Fairbanks City Health and Social Service Commission for 5 years, and this is one of the most cost-effective utilization of funds that go into the Health and Social Service arena, I think any place in probably in the nation. It's a very cost-effective program. It serves not only the people in the city of Fairbanks and the North Star Borough, but also outlying areas through outreach programs that the various social service agencies provide. I think it's in a time where we are faced with having to do more with less, that this is an effective program and should be continued and improved upon.
Questions from committee members?
Thank you.
No, thank you very much. There is a person from Family and Youth Services available to testify if anyone requests it. Is there anyone else in the audience who wants to testify on Senate Bill 156? If not, what's the pleasure of the committee? Senator Sharp?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Senate Bill 156 out of committee with individual recommendations and attached to the first one.
Any objection? Hearing none, Senate Bill 156 is moved out of committee. Next bill before us is Senate Bill 61, which we've heard before. I know that I told Senator Salo we wouldn't get to this till 2 o'clock, so I'd like to maybe just take testimony, but I won't plan to have any votes before she has a chance to get here. Where we were when we last had this bill, there were 4 amendments in front of us still. I'll have to dig them up to tell them that there was an amendment by Senator Sharp. I have here an amendment by Senator Ellis, regarding which I also have here, and maybe it's 2 amendments. There's 1 or 2 by Senator Salo. I see Marla here. Maybe she can tell me. Is there 1 or 2?
1, outstanding on like the school term and increasing instruction value.
Okay. Great. That was amendment number 3.
Right.
Okay. why don't we... Yeah, why don't we take and make sure that everybody has copies of them. They might be buried in there. Let's take a 2-minute at ease and make sure everybody has copies of these 3 amendments. Called the test back to order. I think all the members have the 3 amendments in front of them.
I have 2. Here.
What are you missing? You're missing the Salo.
Salo and Lehman.
Number 3, circled on.
Which amendments have we, how many have we done so far?
I didn't realize we had a Salo amendment number 3. We're still, what's it related to?
Instructional unit value.
Here we go.
Just like
this. Do you have one?
Yeah. There's a copy.
I'm missing the Lehman amendment.
So am I.
By the way, when we get there.
Yeah.
I thought it had been distributed.
Nope.
I don't
know. Nope.
I don't
know. I don't know.
Okay, we'll stand at ease for another minute while we're waiting for the Lehman amendment to be duplicated.
Now I have more copies.
Okay,
but
I'll send it back to order. I think it might be best to take up the Ellis amendment first.
Okay.
And Senator Ellis, if you can move your amendment, I will try to figure out just what number we're on. Because you didn't, as I recall, you never have offered this.
No, we've never gotten to it before.
Okay.
It's the thick one.
Just give me the numbers up on top.
3 pages long.
Actually, it's 6 pages.
Yeah, 6 pages.
Oh, front and back. 3 sheets, 6 pages. Okay, Senator Ellis, would you like to move
Mr. Chairman, I move the unnumbered amendment.
Second.
I would object until I can find it.
Is this this one?
No, that's old. That's charter schools.
So this is out? This is done?
Here, do you need a copy, Mike?
I think I just found it.
Senator Ellis, if you can speak to your amendment while...
Sure, and we're going to wait to vote until everybody's here?
Yeah.
Is that the plan?
I'll wait.
This one?
Senator.
821? 811?
Mr. Chairman, this amendment represents legislation that everybody who was here voted for last year during the 17th legislature. It relates to education goals, and the first part of the amendment you'll see there, and it's numbered up in the top 0.11 forward to 1993. Mm-hmm. It requires a title change just to add the words to goals for public education and student performance. Everybody's voted on this before. We all voted for it, and people at that time agreed with the argument that we spend approaching $1 billion of public funds, by far the biggest component in our operating and sometimes our capital budget, for public education. And at least in terms of the operation of the schools, that the legislature should set standards for and goals for the public school system to shoot for. And I don't have it in front of me, but this is a part of President Bush's Education 2000 plan, when all the governors and the president got together in Virginia someplace several years ago and set goals for education. And so since then, lots of states have moved to set in their statute goals for public education. That's what this amendment proposes to do. Some of the positive features about it, and this is the amendment that I ask everybody to, I pointed out that it was a long one. Please read it. If you had any problem with the words, to let me know, and to date no one has expressed any concern with it, but I know people are busy. Several of the positive features here are on page one, where it says, for the first time anywhere, it is the joint responsibility of students, parents, keyword there, schools, and the community to achieve the mission described in this section. PTAs across the state previously found this great language to recognize the responsibility and rights of parents within the in the education process, and to really include them in. And this, so when this was before us in another form, the PTAs were very supportive of that language. On page two, the second half of that page and on to page three is all verbiage taken from the Alaska Ready to Work committee that spent a lot of time and made recommendations to us about how we needed to set goals and expectations for the public schools in terms of getting children ready to be productive members of society. I'll also point out that there's some very good language here, in my opinion, that talks about it's the responsibility of an acceptance of personal responsibility for sustaining a person economically, including the critical skills and competencies, and it goes on there on subsection 3 on page 2, where it says the individual is responsible for becoming educated and becoming a self-sustaining person and not a burden on the public dole. So all this information here comes directly from Alaskan employers about what they would like to see us set as goals for public education so the kids are productive and they're on time and they're good workers. So I didn't think this up. This all came from those private sector folks. This addresses all the basics in public education. There was a lot of work that went into this. People all over the state participated in this language coming together. And like I said, if anyone has any heartburn with any particular sentences, you know, that you didn't notice before when we passed this legislation, I'd be happy to fine-tune it now. But this has been around for a long time, and I think it's important that we set these goals for public education.
Senator Lehman.
Are we just us today?
Or yeah.
Okay. Senator Ellis, is this the version that actually passed the House? I know, I think I offered a couple amendments on the House floor, and we changed it. This is, are we back with that version?
Yeah, we will double check through the chair, okay. Senator Lehman, but I believe that except for the title change that we have to do to make it conform to this bill, this should be the exact bill from last year.
Okay, I remember clarifying something on this use of technology, and there was something that was confusing before, and
right.
I think we clarified
that should be
it.
In there, but if it's not.
It is. No, I see it in. But I don't know what line this is, but it's about middle of the page on page 4. It says, respond constructively to life, social, environmental, and physical changes. I'm wondering if that word changes is correct, or if we might better put the word challenges in there, because it seems to me like, you know, that we need to have our students responding to you know, not only the changes, but to our social, environmental, and physical environment. And there, you know, we have challenges with them. Or I don't know, it seems to me we can broaden that to something more than just the changes in them. But I wondered if anybody, somebody wrote this, somebody must have had a reason for it.
Yeah. But it's too hard to reconstruct that.
Yeah.
I think challenges is a superior choice of terms there, but I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay,
at all.
It's all right, I just move that amendment.
Okay.
To the amendment.
It's on page 4. There's not line numbers on this, but it's 8B, changes to challenges. Is there any objection to that amendment to the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I just really believe this amendment strengthens this education reform bill. In that, you know, in my personal life, I don't ever achieve anything unless I set goals and the objectives by which I'm going to achieve those goals. And, you know, some criticism you might hear is that we have no mechanism here to penalize a school district that doesn't achieve all these goals. Well, that's a little beyond us at this point. Maybe we want to think about that. I think the first step, though, in improving student outcomes and performance is to set some standards here. And if we find through our future investigations that people aren't even trying to live up to these, well, maybe then we come up with a mechanism to penalize people or to give an incentive to do better. But the first step really is to set goals, because you really don't achieve anything unless you do that. And an education reform bill without goals kind of boggles me. It's a real missing piece here. So I hope we adopt this amendment.
Senator Ellis, good question about the title.
Sure.
It seems about on track with what we've done, but it doesn't have the, the recognition of PTAs as a local advisory committee, and I'm just curious why that one wasn't in there.
Oh, I'm not trying to.
I know you're not.
I'm not trying to preclude anything.
But I have a constructive suggestion that we not adopt the title change for now until we find out what the final form of the bill is.
Good point.
And I know we were waiting, hoping that get here, we could take that up. Is there any, while we're waiting for a minute, is there anyone in the audience who wants to testify on Senator Ellis's amendment?
My name is Vince Berry. I represent the Department of Education, and I'm here to speak against the amendment. I would like to share with you two pieces of information. One is the amendment itself that I highlighted some information on, and the other is a statement concerning the standards that are being worked on. I agree with Senator Ellis, that these statements are, there's a group of statements in this amendment that are excellent piece of work. And they have been adopted by the State Board of Education in a vision statement in Alaska 2000. They're the longest standing statement on behalf of the kids in education in the state at the moment. So that those that are highlighted, you could, if you take a look for just a moment at a vision for Alaskan education, and you see the State Board's vision statement. In those statements, I've highlighted the overlap of this statement. So this is the general statement that has been made that in the standards is taken directly from Senator Ellis's work. It is the statement, Senator Ellis' work over the past couple of years or wherever this came from, is the statement that has been driving the standards, the development of standards in math, science, English, and the beginning processes of vocational education right now. Exactly these standards. The reason that I'm in opposition is the subsets of the standards, subsections that is of the I don't know the term for it, I guess, but the subset of each of those subsections, it's just to me that the timing is wrong. The reason the timing is wrong, we have 20 teachers out there right now working in mathematics. That is, teachers of mathematics, professors of mathematics, people from business, labor, industry, government that have interest in mathematics. We have another group of approximately 20 working in the sciences and another in English. If we superimpose these subsets on their work, it puts a series of frameworks around what it is that they're doing that they'll have to plug back into. And the first, I'm happy to tell you the truth that these general statements are made and that they were accepted by the state board. A lot of it is incorporated into district policy right now, but in the planning stages that we are at and that we have undertaken, these subsets of statements would be counterproductive. And I guess that's it.
Is it your testimony that what you refer to as the subsets, which I guess is the area in white, the non-highlighted areas, is restricting the scope of what the standards, the goals for education might eventually encompass?
Yes, because you have to give the school teachers a chance to come up with these particular types of statements so that they fit in to the vision statements, to the broader statements that you see up above, the statements number 1 and 2 and 3 and so on. So that their work will fit into that. I think that you'll see as we look at it again next year. I was able to cross-reference this material this year, and next year I'll be able to cross-reference the subsets that are in this as the teachers do their work. But if we already predetermine, especially in law, what it is that they must consider, I'm afraid that it would be counterproductive.
Senator Ellis.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I remember what the governor's office told me about the bill last year, that we shouldn't set public goals for education at this time because Alaska 2000 would work on this, and when we have our education reform bill before you next year, we'll have these goals for education. And here we are, and we don't. This is the major education reform piece. This is where goals for education should be for something we spend almost $1 billion on. Now, on the gentleman's point about these subsets precluding various efforts of these groups working on student outcomes, if you read through these are almost to the general, are so general that, these work groups can, I don't believe that anyone's going to be constrained by this broad, general, goal-oriented language that's contained in the subsets under these parts that mesh with the vision statement. I guess I just am frustrated that it's been almost 3 years now, and I just don't believe that those groups of teachers will be constrained by this language. And it's important to set these goals. So if I thought they were diametrically opposed or even in conflict in any way, I wouldn't want to constrain them that way. But I don't believe that's the case. I think we're on the same wavelength here. If we could just all decide to work together.
Any other questions, Mr. Baker? Is there anyone else who wants to testify on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, another point is that, you know, when there's a new governor, whenever that might be, and a new Board of Education, you know, this last time we had student outcomes and goals and a huge amount of work that went into that, and then the board changed, and it seems like every time there's a change in the Board of Education, we have a whole new planning process and a whole new effort and a commitment to setting goals, standards, student outcomes, goals for education. I've seen this 2 or 3 times now, the relatively short time that I've been in the legislature. We never get anywhere. It's almost become a joke. And, you know, I would like something that the legislature puts into statute that outlives an administration or appointments to the State Board of Education. We're talking about the same thing. We just never get on with it and do it. So,
Senator Miller.
Mr. Chairman, for what it's worth, remove my objection.
Is there any? Okay. Is there any objection?
That's not worth much.
By the way, this is amendment number 15. Is there any objection to amendment number 15?
Except for excluding the time change.
Excluding the
time. Excluding the
time. But including my major revision.
Challenges.
Challenge for change.
That way I can read in the statute 2 years from now and say, look, that was mine.
One thing you better be remembered for.
Okay.
Other than what you're remembered for.
Senator Salem, Senator Ellis's amendment, the Rules for Education is before us with the two amendments that the title change is not part of his amendment, and one word is change, from change to challenge.
Okay.
And all remaining objections were just withdrawn from the motion. Is there any objection to amendment number 15? Number 15 passes.
Thank you.
I'd like to take up Senator Salo's amendment number 3, and if you can speak to your amendment. I'm going to have to leave for a few minutes, so I'm going to turn the gavel over to Senator Sharp, and I'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Would you rather recess? Would you rather recess?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll recess after we hear it, before we get to the point to vote now.
Well,
Senator Salem?
I have a couple of things that I need to get from my office. I just came right back in from the car, so I would really prefer a short recess if that's possible.
Okay. We'll stand in recess until 2:30, and we'll.
2:30 or?
2:30, and we come back.
Oh,
we'll address. We'll address. Amendment number 3. Then the next one will be Senator Lehman's amendment, which is unnumbered.
Huh?
And then
it's time to visit
Senator
Chinese dentist.
Thank you.
Okay, we're in recess.
I can't hear you. What is your?
Call the meeting. Send us back to order. Thank you all for waiting patiently. Next amendment to take up is amendment number 3, which was offered and then withdrawn at the time by Senator Salo, and I believe that Senator Taylor wants to re-offer it and speak to it.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, during the recess here, I understand that Senator Lehman is offering another amendment having to do with this section, and I would like to withdraw amendment number 3 and move it back.
Okay, is there any objection? Hearing none, amendment number 3 is withdrawn. The next is amendment number 16 by Senator Lehman.
Here's one we're going to look closer.
I move the amendment. Now that I've distributed the amendment, I don't have one. But I know what it does.
Page 2, 3, 28.
On page 2 just deletes everything dealing with school terms, so there's no changes to the existing.
Object.
Yeah, I gotta have yours because it's highlighted in yellow.
No, that's
it's only about 3 lines long.
I finished with that one.
Okay. This complex one.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other discussion before I? Well, I'll just say that, you know, I just believe that the limited knowledge that I have, and I'll be the first to admit that I'm not an expert on education, is that we are, you know, in a world of increasing information, and there's just more to know now than there used to be. And I think that what's needed is some kind of a collaborative effort where, you know, the extra time in a school year is not being taken up by more paperwork by administrators and teachers. I mean, I'm all for increasing the contact time per day. But also, I think even with that, we need to allow more days to deliver all that's out there that needs to be delivered. And I'm not enthused about taking out the lengthening school year provision. Senator Salem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to support this amendment for two reasons. One is, all of the arguments that you make about the value of an increased school year, I agree with. But I don't think there's a willingness to put the fiscal note with this that needs to go with it if you're going to increase the school term. And it's totally naive to think that you're going to increase it by 20 days cost-free. And the second reason that I'm going to support it is that even if we were willing to put the appropriate fiscal note to go with it, districts have told us clearly, succinctly, that they can think of many other better expenditures for that fiscal note that would accompany it. And certainly the chief amongst those is the class size lowering of the class size, because that improves student contact time in a way that that is every bit as important as quality rather than the quantity of the number of days. So I'm going to support Senator Lehman's amendment to eliminate this lengthening of the school term for those two reasons.
Okay. Any other debate on amendment number 16? Anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on number 16? Yeah, why don't you take the roll?
Senator Reeder.
No.
Senator Sharp.
Yes.
Senator Duncan.
Yes.
Senator Ellis.
No.
Senator Lehman.
Yes.
Senator Miller.
Yes.
Senator Salem.
Yes.
Motion carries. Next one is amendment by Senator Sharp. This would be amendment number 17, right? 17. Senator Sharp.
What, 17?
17.
Mr. Chairman, I would move amendment number 17.
Is there any objection?
Mr. Chairman. No, objection. I just wanted to make a statement first.
Okay,
we're kind of back where we're beginning the process, because I think that may have been the first amendment that was offered before this committee. And after that was denied, we did some work on evaluation procedures, which I think made a lot of sense in the 10-year law. It was some formalized evaluation procedures and so on, but I guess that didn't carry through. But I just want to make that point. I'm not objecting to this amendment at this moment.
Okay. Is there any objection?
I'll just add to what the Senator General said. I too thought enjoyed working on the this section with the various groups, but after checking back with the school district in our area, they felt that they had a tenure program that was working effectively under the current statutes, and why fix something that's not broke? So.
Senator Salem?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was certainly what I heard on this issue, too, and it was interesting because for years it's been sort of the assumption that this was an area that should be looked at, and so I guess from that standpoint it was good that it was included in the bill. But all of the major districts, as well as employees, et cetera, really did come through and say it's working for us, and when we came up with and offered alternative proposals, they basically said what we have currently is better, because if we have somebody who's not performing well as a teacher at the end of 2 years, we are letting go of them at that point instead of an extension. So it provided us, I think, with another interesting perspective on it. And I'm very pleased that you're offering the amendment.
Well, I'd say my impression, having been part of this too, is thrashing through this, is that in some districts it's working, and in some districts I think that it might not be working well. That's also the flip side of that. And I feel that there is the impression I'm left with. I can only go on the testimony and the kind of the vibes that comes, that there is room for a more collaborative effort between administrators and teachers on this whole evaluation and removal and hiring process, that whole range of things. And that, although that might not have been on point when there was, Senator Duncan offered some amendments and got worked over with some other amendments, I think that we were on the track of something, maybe it'll come up some other time, some future year, of increased contact time between a probationary teacher and the administration, and rather than just increased time per se, just I think a more collaborative process both ways. And, I'm going to support the amendment, but I'm disappointed that we didn't come up with something that really could help instill that collaborative feeling. Senator Miller.
And following along with that, Mr. Chairman, I will support the amendment too, although there's still a frustration that I have felt, and I know many of my constituents have felt. And to give you a good example, going back to 86, when we had the big crash, and the school districts around the state was hit particularly hard by the declining revenue base, where we had situations where, especially in the grade school, where a number of parents came to me, although there was nothing to be done, where they were laying off non-tenured elementary school teachers and bringing down high school teachers that were tenured and putting them in kindergartens and first grade. There was a lot of frustration there. There was frustrations on everybody's part, on the parents' part, on the teacher's part, on the student part. So, I think there are still areas to be looked at, but, I'm not sure how to do that, how to look at that. And how to address those problems. But I do think that they do need to be addressed when we do run into situations like that.
Senator Salem.
Actually, I think both the concerns that, that Senator Miller made and that you made, I think those are issues that have to be addressed at the local level. I mean, the problem that occurred, I mean, from your perspective, problem that occurred in Fairbanks with the layoff situation was because they have a very tight clause negotiated in their negotiated agreement about layoffs. And that's not something that we control, but that the district and the employees do control. And so it's at that level that that problem needs to be fixed. And for those districts that still have, you know, I don't know that we're ever going to be able to legislate collaboration and good evaluation processes. But I guess where we can inspire them by either regulation or legislation, we want to do so. In most districts, for most students and teachers in this state, I think there's a pretty good evaluation procedure in place and varying degrees to how the districts are following that procedure.
Any other discussion? Any objection? Okay, amendment number 17 passes. Are there any other amendments? What's the will of the committee on Senate Bill 161?
Mr. Chairman, before we actually move this, would you review, I mean, where we ended up, for instance, with the charter school proposal and the whole?
Yeah, and in fact, I have a handwritten copy, which I believe we've Xeroxed and given to everybody, just my own staff's notes of all the changes that we think
wonderful
are in the draw. And we're reviewing the tapes to make sure that we have it absolutely correctly tied to... Oh, okay, Betty says she reviewed the tapes again today, so this should be an accurate markup of how the CS will read.
Well, this mine or yours? I thought it was mine, but we can share it.
Sure.
I
don't know.
Okay, so...
Oh, okay.
Okay. Actually, I think we're short, aren't we? I can't find mine. I've got so much stuff.
So this section is gone as of today, right?
Yeah. We're trying to be environmentally sound. Not give
this is what we kept.
Waste
a bill.
Kills trees.
Well, we're trying to save money, so we just cut out everything.
Now we have to go back and maybe handle that title issue, though, on your amendment.
A bill?
Well, the title.
I take it that the title will conform.
Well, the title could actually be what the title is here. Are we going to have a tighter title or a looser title?
Oh, yeah.
That's the question I think we need to ask. Is this title is very broad. The title that Senator Ellis was proposing in his amendment was much more specific as to what's in and out of the bill. I would like to see the title go more specific myself.
Save us big problems later.
Yeah.
They have big problems. It really decides whether the bill's going to pass this year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this title.
This title.
Really?
I mean, so a lot of stuff could appear on the other side. If you see this title, you don't know what's going to come back to you.
Okay,
duties of a local community. It'll just become a morass.
Yeah.
It wouldn't pass.
Maybe we should do
this. I don't know.
What happened? Okay, charter schools. The charter school is essentially.
We should.
I'm coming after your $75.
Probably object. Probably right.
Would you object to
what?
Double pretty M on a holiday.
Not for everybody else, but I'm coming after your $75. The Bill Ray special that you're.
It has nothing to do with Bill Ray. It's been there since David.
The three-fourths
of it's always been there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it's always been there. We used to get back to equal.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Senator Taylor.
Just a quick review of this from my perspective. What we're left with...
We used to get 100%.
Well, we now have some
and
goals
we
and a goal statement in here. Then we have the advisory board section,
right?
And we have the section 4, which is the... I called it the R&D
that's what the differentials were.
Money, but the
that's why you get
school improvement fund,
mm-hmm.
that remains in there. And then largely this bill is going to contain that long section on the charter schools, right, as we amended it.
Yeah, right. So 1, 2, 3, there are 4 general
sections in the bill. There's a school improvement fund, goals for public education, student performance, advisory boards in school districts, and establishment of charter schools, right, and an effective date. I don't feel strongly either way. People want to have the title tightened. I think even the bill drafter felt comfortable with a more tight title, but I don't care. If someone wants to take it on and offer an amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'd offer an amendment that we draft a title that reflects what's in the bill.
Okay, so conceptually, and it will instruct the bill drafter to speak more specifically to the provisions of the bill.
Sure.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman?
I
would certainly feel more comfortable if we were able to have all of our amendments draft and that title change put together and drafted in a final copy for a final look at this before it's sent out of this committee. I think that the real scrutiny of this bill and all of its provisions is going to occur here. I mean, maybe somebody's going to look at it real carefully again, but I certainly think I would feel more comfortable if we were able to have that one more day on.
I guess that's fine. I have no objection. You want to have CS. Is there a reason not to? And then Minnesota?
No, it wouldn't be.
No, that's okay. But we should be able to have a CS for us by Wednesday to look at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, Senator Sharp.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I shouldn't slow things down.
Anything no,
I don't think they could publicize it if they want to hear it the following week, which I don't think they're going to have time to do anyway. Well,
they miss it here.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's in the package.
Is this part of the package?
This is headlong right towards it.
Okay, so it'll be my intention then to bring a CS to the committee Wednesday, which incorporates all these. We have another bill that's calendared for Wednesday. We'll take that up afterwards so that you can see it. If we get it beforehand, we'll definitely
as soon as it's available.
Yeah, it'll be my intention, though, to see if we can move it out so that we have time for healthcare.
Okay. Sure, that's important stuff to do.
Okay.
In fact, you should have been doing it first. You're not worried about this later.
Is there any... Is there any other business coming forward in this committee today?
We should see all the results on being...